Hello there, Podcast Land. This episode of the Behind the Barricade podcast is sponsored by Podcast Texts. Podcasters, do you want to expand your podcast reach to 360 million, maybe even more people? Do you want to make your podcast searchable on Google, Yahoo, even Ask Jeeves? Then look no further than Podcast Texts. You can increase your podcast reach exponentially. You can also reach the deaf and hearing impaired. They can read your podcast. It's unbelievable the amount of ways Podcast Text can help you. Maybe you have a few links you'd like to include. Not a problem. You can include them thanks to Podcast Texts. Seem too good to be true? Visit PodcastTexts.com to create a more dynamic user experience for your audience today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Behind the Barricade podcast, and here are your hosts, John O'Connor and Daniel Tao.
What's up, Podcast Land? This is Daniel Tao. In this episode, I'm joined again with Sarah Esposito. We talk with Matthew from the band Firestarter about a couple of shows at The Chance, one he played in the past in a blizzard, the other that he's going to be playing for Planned Parenthood with a whole bunch of bands, including a funny one that you're just going to have to listen to find out what their name is. Anyway, we also go over a bunch of things about him, you know, being in a local band and having a pretty good Facebook following, going on tour, coming home and having jobs that he can kind of jump back into. We go over him living in New York, maybe not, hitting up the casino, a whole bunch of other things that even delve outside of music. Anyway, again, this is Matthew, lead singer, Firestarter Band. Hit it.
Nice.
Do you go to the casino?
I like, to be honest, I've always wanted to, but just never had the chance to.
Oh, I'd be there.
I also don't trust myself.
I can hear that. I don't trust Sarah, so that's why I try to stay.
I don't
away
give
from
a shit about trusting. I'd be there like every day, every day.
Like if you put me in front of one of those digital blackjack tables, it's all over.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a sucker for blackjack.
We like the, your standard table, like blackjack tables, but we do roulette more.
It's, okay. Yeah.
Plus, the electronic roulette or just regular roulette. But lately, we're partial to the Wheel of Fortune slot machine game. We went on a cruise. What was it, last year? We went on a cruise last year, and this Wheel of Fortune game in the casino on the ship, we won, I hit, for $250. I think Dan hit for, $100.
No, I hit for
$300. Oh, yeah, he hit for $300.
I think it was, $340.
We get back home, and we go to Atlantic City. We're in Tropicana, and we're sitting there, and nothing. We didn't hit once. And I did the worst of the worst. I blew the rent. I went to the ATM machine, and I blew the rent. That was the worst I ever did. Yeah,
but it's the funny thing too is so many people go on cruises and say you don't win, and I've never won so much at a casino than on the cruise.
Yeah,
it could have just been. And it was the funny thing too is I sat down oh, I'm just going to play like my last $20 and go to bed or something. And it didn't even look
3 hours later.
No, it wasn't. It was like literally 10 minutes later. Like I didn't even, it didn't even look like I won anything. Mm-hmm. And it just like the amount kept going up and going up and going up and stopped at like 340.
Maybe they kind of like, have
all right,
to
I'm
going to
go home now.
Yeah, I know. Definitely. I mean, dude, I ended up paying for my cruise, like what I did on the cruise. So.
Oh, there you go.
I could literally take up this whole half hour talking about casinos, but I won't do that to you. So,
okay.
Firestarter, tell us about the name.
Well, it's actually kind of a funny story. So, I'd always known the name Firestarter because Jimmy Eat World has an EP of the same name. Mm-hmm. Now, at the time, I didn't realize that it was the cover of this song by this artist called The Prodigy, which is like a 90s industrial artist or something like that.
Yeah.
Look up the video for Prodigy Firestarter when you get the chance, and you're going to be like,
What the hell is this?
We don't have to.
Yeah,
ever since I heard about the interview today, that song's been in my head.
That video, though, is just out there. I will say that.
I've never even heard it. I've never heard
You've
of that
never
before.
Heard that song? It was
well,
like,
I probably have, but like
it was a one-hit wonder.
I can't put the
yeah. It was definitely a one-hit wonder.
Yeah.
Gotta love those. I never understood how a band could write like one amazing song and then never write it. Like my thing is, it's like, for instance, I don't know if you ever heard of this band, but I think they're called Vertical Horizon.
Oh my god, we did a Vertical Horizon cover actually that you can find on our YouTube page.
I mean, they had two songs, but really they had one like amazing hit. But my thing is, it's like, did they make so much money off that song that they didn't need to be a band anymore? Did like things just not work out? Like it's crazy.
I mean, I feel like with their case, they wrote what's that song called?
Everything you want.
Everything you want is the one we did the cover of, actually, which is funny.
Amazing
song. Yes, it's so good. And then the other one's the one that they had it in Bruce Almighty.
Isn't it You're a God?
Yeah, there we go. That's the song.
They're two most popular songs.
Yeah, and they literally wrote that their entire career, if that. Mm-hmm. They try. I think they put out other music, but I don't think anyone cared.
Yeah. I mean, another thing, too, is like Bryan Adams. Like, he's still putting out records, and you're like, this guy still exists.
He wasn't a one-hit wonder, though. He had a lot.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, like, certain people, like Billy Joel, it's like everyone flocks and goes there. But someone like Bryan Adams, it's like, wait, he's still putting out albums?
Yeah.
You know?
Agreed.
I mean, but I feel like, has Billy Joel put out anything recently?
I don't know.
He's just riding off of everything that he's
No, I think, yeah, I think that's the case.
You
but he's still, like, huge, though.
I feel like I don't even care. I feel like Billy Joel is a waste of time.
What about Bruce Springsteen?
No. Absolute waste of time.
Really?
Damn.
What about you?
I mean, I grew up on Billy Joel because my mom's a huge Billy Joel fan, and my dad is as well, so he was always playing in the car, so I can't.
Like, there's only so many times you can hear Bottle of Red, Bottle of White. Like, leave me alone. I don't want anything.
Who does that American song, We Didn't Start the Fire?
That's Billy Joel.
That's also Billy Joel.
I'm not going to lie. I love that song, though. Every time I hear it,
so
like...
Good.
You and I aren't speaking
it's really
for
good.
The rest of the night.
Dude, that song's amazing.
Yeah.
It was always burning since the world's been turning.
Exactly. So, speaking of burning, let's get back to Firestarter.
Oh, that was so clever.
I know.
That was phenomenal.
Good segue.
You know what, though? Actually, mine is better. So, we're talking about crappy music. What influenced Firestarter for you guys?
I mean, all of us grew up, like, during, like, literally, like, the heyday of, like, the mid-2000s, like, emo, screamo, like, pop punk wave of, like, bands. Like, honestly, my two favorite bands are Silverstein Bayside, like, our drummer Matt, his favorite band, Seosin, and then our two new members, Mike and Dan, like Dan's like super into like the old school, like post hardcore even before that, and our guitarist Mike's more into like the newer stuff, but as well as like the old school stuff as well.
Okay.
But we like, even as a band, like early on, like we pulled from obviously like early pop punk bands, like the Drive-Thru Records band and everyone that was on Victory and everything like that. But I feel like more like we actually. To bring it up, since we're speaking music, we have a new record coming out later this year, the full length.
Nice.
And we actually recorded it with John Naclerio, who did Your Favorite Weapon by Brand New, Bullets by MCR, all the Just Surrender records, and everything like that. So we have that more of that, like, mid-2000s emo, like pop punk kind of feel to our newer stuff versus the more straight up sound that we have in our older material.
I mean, still, those are pretty big bands. Brand New, obviously, is like that. Like, if you listen to punk, that's like the band,
right?
That people know and like say that they're influenced. I actually think it's funny because every punk band that we've had on here, I think I'm like instantly, oh, they sound like a Day to Remember.
That's what I
like,
thought.
How do you feel when someone compares you to a band like that? Because honestly, it's like all these pop punk now bands nowadays that we've interviewed. That's like the first band that pops into my head. Like, this is what it sounds like.
Yeah, like I'm lucky because like I feel like more people compare us to like, especially our older stuff, more to like old school Blink and like early Fall Out Boy, which I'm okay with. Okay. We've definitely gotten the Day to Remember comparison. I just don't see it.
Mm.
Are you fans of A Day to Remember or no?
I like, for me, I like their older material. I like For Those Who Have Heart. I like Homesick. And Their Name is Treason, but they just lost it for me. What separates me from you and the later records. Like,
the later records?
Song,
it was different. Like, the later album, it was definitely different. It was not A Day to Remember. I didn't dislike it 100%, but I was definitely more on the disappointed side.
For sure. And it was definitely more like radio friendly as well.
Oh, definitely. You know, it's too often that bands do that. You know, you get a little bit of popularity and you start making some money and all of a sudden the sound is different.
It's not what you used to be.
Yeah. Do you know In This Moment?
I feel like I've heard the name.
She's Maria Brink is the front woman for that band. Mm-hmm. They were huge, huge.
New York.
I guess that's Scream. In fact, they're from Albany. Actually, she lives in Albany. We did a meet and greet, but you guys are originally from Albany, is that right?
Yeah. So funny story. Like when the band started, I had moved up to the Albany area, and that's where I had met our drummer Matt, who was going to school at St. Rose College up there.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, our two original the other guitarist and bassist were from the Albany area, and then time went on, we changed up members. Our drummer Matt ended up moving back home to Poughkeepsie, and at that time, I moved back down here to Yonkers, which is where I'm from and originally.
Right.
So it just worked out better, and then our new bassist Dan's from Poughkeepsie, and our new guitarist Mike's actually from Connecticut, but the commute isn't too bad. It's like an hour or so for me to Poughkeepsie, and same for him, so it works out.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So like we feel like... Like, yeah, we're still technically as a band from the Albany area, but we feel like we're more at home down in, like, the lower New York area and, like, the city and Poughkeepsie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we love the city.
I love New York City. I basically grew up there living, being so close and everything like that.
Yeah, you're not kidding. We got lost the other day. We were at, where were we? That was Palisades, right? We were at Palisades, and we went the wrong way. On the highway.
Parkway?
Yeah.
You
got me, dude. Don't ask me for directions.
We were at Palisades Mall, weren't we?
We were at the mall.
We were at Palisades Mall.
I don't know. Yeah, but he asked the parkway and you said,
No, I see. So we ended up going like
it's
over
close.
The Tappan Zee Bridge. We were in Sleepy Hollow, but then it felt like a hop, skip, and a jump, and we were in Yonkers.
Well, no, yeah, that was the thing. That's what happened. I went the wrong way on 287.
Because
I think
so
like
went over the Tappan Zee.
Yeah, because
is scary, by the way. And
there was one point in time where there was metal plates on that bridge that the hole beneath it went straight down into the water.
Yeah, wow. Which I think is part of the reason they're redoing it, but they need to hurry up.
That bridge is teetering on the brink of destruction.
I don't know why, but it's not 287; it's 87, and I'm pretty sure I did south, but it doesn't take you this.
That whole area is a clusterfuck.
Yeah, it doesn't.
There's so many like interchanges and like forks and like different things. It's just like
and it didn't take
87 splits off to 287 and 87.
Yeah, and it didn't take us the right way, so we ended up going over to Sleepy Hollow. And again, I took the wrong exit. And we end up passing. I don't know if you ever went past it, but there's like a indoor. Skydiving place.
Oh yeah, I actually that entire shopping center and everything like that is literally 2 minutes from where I live.
And what highway is that?
That's 87.
Yeah,
so that's the thing. We were on 87 instead of 287.
Have you been to that? Have you been to that skydiving place?
I have not. I don't know if that really appeals to me.
Oh, okay.
Honestly, it's totally like
it's just like one of those big fans, like Willy Wonka style, that blows you up in the air.
It's like trivial. I think it's like more for kids because you're not like up in the air like 20 feet or 50 feet. Like you're literally 5 feet off the ground. You know?
Okay. I thought like with the size of that building, I could imagine it being like you're like 20 to 30 feet in the air.
Yeah. If you watch the video, it's like, oh, if I fall and I'm, you know, planted the right way, I'll just land on my feet and be okay.
Well, speaking of highways too, to get back to this a little bit. all right, so that kind of makes sense. You talking about, you know, where everybody from the band is from, because I was looking at your, you know, up and coming tour dates. So you're in Connecticut, you're in New Hampshire, and I was like, wow, they're kind of all over the place. But you are playing at the Chance. Danny played at the Chance. Danny opened up for Fear Factory.
Yeah, and Soil Work.
So is this the first time you're playing at the Chance, or
we've been a band for just about 4 years now. We've played there. Shitload of times. I don't know if I'm allowed. I guess I'm allowed to curse.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
cool. But we play there a lot. I love playing the Chance. I've been playing the Chance since my band, even before Firestarter. And I'm glad we've been able to continue to do so. Like one of our CD release shows when we first put out our first EP was actually at the Loft with Major League. RIP.
Nice.
Yeah, Danny did that too.
Have you ever played there in the wintertime?
Oh God!
I have
exactly. Story for that. If you want to hear a story, for
yeah,
go
right
for
ahead.
It. Because
go
I mean, to start it off, like when my band played there, dude, it was so freaking cold. I mean, the first time we played there, we didn't open for anybody. We just played like a local show at the Chance.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that they like didn't turn on the heat on purpose because they're like, all right, we're saving money. This isn't
very
like a big place. And she even asked like one of the people that work there, and they're like, oh, ask the owner. Cause you could tell that they're pissed or like this guy's cheap and doesn't turn on the heat.
Jesus.
Yeah.
The place is so big. You need to turn the heat on.
Exactly. Yeah, dude, it was, I almost felt like you could see your breath.
You could. And I did find a stall in the girls' bathroom, FYI. It's if you go in the girls' bathroom, it's the third stall down. There's a vent and the heat blows, so just go in there. If you're cold, it's good.
Yeah, now that we accept anybody in bathrooms, you can just go in there.
Word of the wise.
So what's your Chance story?
All right, so I think it was 3 years ago now. It was November, sorry. November, 3 years ago. We played this festival called Fire and Ice. Census Fell was the headliner. I think Leg Moss the Flames played as well, and a bunch of other bands. The lineup was actually awesome, but it ended up being like the day of the festival ended up being on one of the worst blizzards of the entire winter.
Damn.
And like they were teetering on like should we cancel it? Should we just take the loss or everything like that? But they were like, all right, let's try. So to start off the day, we get there. It's already snowing heavily. There's maybe like 3 or 4 inches on the ground. We get there. We load in. We start setting up merch. And we realize we forgot our merch racks.
You forgot what?
Merch racks.
Our racks for merch to put our shirts
God.
On and everything like that. So we're just like, and like we realized this, that we had just been on a tour. We had left it at the last date of the tour.
Oh, no.
It didn't click because we never pulled those out of the trailer. So we were like, oh, wait. We totally forgot these at the last show.
Oh, someone jump in the van and threw a blizzard and go get it.
We actually jumped in the van. We dropped our trailer, jumped in the van. We drove 5 miles an hour to the Home Depot, which is actually open right down the street, and bought new ones.
That's crazy.
How
That's
far away did you leave it?
To be honest, it was probably like other side of like New York or something like that, like
somewhere,
super far away.
Somewhere you would not have gotten to in a blizzard.
Yeah, so apparently it wasn't worth it to go back.
No. So,
go ahead.
We made it to Home Depot. We got the racks. We made it back to the venue. By this point, there is maybe over half a foot of snow going, like in places where it wasn't being plowed or whatever. Now, obviously, not a lot of people came out to the festival, but the cool thing is that Census Fail is prepping for their tour to do Let It Enfold You in its entirety. And they literally opened up with the first 6 songs off that record when they played.
Wow.
So that was awesome. But the drive home was very scary, even though it was only, like, because we were lucky that our drummer lived right across the Mid-Hudson Bridge or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. So we just had to get over the bridge to get home, but that was still a very, very, very scary ride.
How long did it take you?
So it normally from the chance to his house would be like a 10 to 15 minute drive. It took us an hour and 15 minutes.
Oh, damn.
Wow. Yeah.
That's dedication, my friend.
Well, at least that shows you you're going slow enough.
Yes. I was at the wheel. I was like, I am not risking anything. I'm going to drive as slow as it takes, and I'm going to get us home in one piece.
Mm. There you go. So you are playing at the Chance with Old Wounds.
Mm-hmm.
Cock punch. Ouch. Cock punch. I'm going to say cock punch. I'm probably going to say that a couple more times. No,
please don't.
Young English, Water Me Down, I Can Dream, Cold Hands, and Sharp Tooth. Have you ever mm-hmm. played with these bands before?
Cold Hands is a Poughkeepsie local that we've played with a bunch. They're mm-hmm. awesome dudes. They're a really good band that they put out a few songs. I believe they're putting out an EP or an album soon.
Mm-hmm.
And Sharp Tooth, we actually just played with in Baltimore a few weeks ago for their album release of their new record.
Mm-hmm.
And then Young English, I've played with my old band, but never got the chance to with Firestarter before they had broken up because they recently just got back together. But everyone else and that on the lineup is our first time with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's I'm actually lineup.
I'm excited to see Old Wounds because I've heard very, very good things about that band.
Mm-hmm. And what's the deal with it being for Planned Parenthood? Did you guys like kind of all get together and book this, or did you just get added to the show? Like, how did that work?
Our bassist Dan, like, we had been talking about it for a while because, like, obviously, like, with everything that's going on in the world politically right now, mm-hmm. and everything like that, especially now that they've actually proposed the defunding of Planned Parenthood and everything like that, we thought like we need to help out because if that's not there, it's not even just for like abortions or whatever. There's so many other things that go into Planned Parenthood that I don't think people realize
mm-hmm.
that like a lot of people need.
Mm-hmm.
So we were just trying to help out as much as we can, raise as much money and just help out in whatever way we can.
Yeah. I don't know much about Planned Parenthood.
Well, it's for, I guess it's for everybody, but, you can go there. Like, say you're like embarrassed to tell your mom or your dad that you're pregnant, you're a teenager, you can go there and get help. I think one of the points
I'm pretty sure if I was pregnant, I'd be really embarrassed.
I would be really embarrassed if you were pregnant too. Yeah. So, but Matt, I think what you're saying and what I'm going to assume, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, hopefully okay. the education of the public on how to prevent like STDs or prevent teenage pregnancy and what have you.
Exactly. Like, there's more to it than just the whole abortion side, which a lot of people jump to, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know that, and I know that. I think, unfortunately, a good population of America doesn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, I don't know. I guess you got to educate people on how to use Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. So
I mean, I guess if they defund just the abortion part of it, I'm not saying that I agree with that or not, but even if they just focus on that aspect and leave the education and all that, I mean, that would be good than defunding the whole program, you know?
Exactly.
Well, anyway, it's good to have, a belief. It's good to have a cause. It's good to fight for that. Mm-hmm. So that's a good deal.
But I mean, hey, at least, if you're a band supporting something like that, at least you're supporting something like that. You know, it's not
exactly
just a show to raise money for bands. It's like for a cause, mm-hmm. other than yourself.
We're trying to bring, as you can tell, like, the lineup's very eclectic. We're bringing different types of people, like, different bands and everything like that, and we're hoping that we can all just be together and have a good time, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Spread the word.
Exactly.
So then, you're in New Hampshire. You're at the Bungalow Bar and Grill in Manchester, New Hampshire.
I've heard good things about this place. We have actually never played mm-hmm. at that venue. We have played New Hampshire before, and it's always a good time.
That's a hike.
It is. It's only, but surprisingly, it's only 3.5 hours.
Only three and a half hours. Hope nobody has to go to the bathroom.
I mean,
I don't know. The biggest thing is taking showers.
We've definitely had our long haul of drives though in the past, so mm-hmm. we're used to it.
Yeah, you guys seem like you tour a lot. I mean, I'm always interested to ask this because I'm in a band myself, but I don't really tour. Like, what do you? I see that one time that I don't know if it was last year or the year before, you had like a string of tour dates. Now, do you guys all have like regular jobs? Like, how does that work?
I mean, we make it work as best we can. Like, I work two part-time jobs when I'm home.
Mm-hmm.
I deliver pizza for a pizzeria, and I also I run and serve at this movie theater called the Alamo Draft House. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I never.
It's actually a movie theater that serves a full menu of alcohol, full menu of like food and everything like that while you watch a movie.
I love those movie theaters.
We have they're called AMC Dine-In. Well, you know what they are.
Yeah, and there's another one too called iPick. It's in Fort Lee.
Okay.
They do that. But I mean the dine-in is it's like crappy food, and like the iPick one they actually have like a legit menu.
Yeah, so same with the Alamo. It's like a full like appetizers, main courses, snacks, like the whole nine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like sushi and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So your other band members, they do that as well?
I know our drummer Matt, he also works at the pizzeria full time. Our bassist Dan, he works at a coffee shop. He's also working at Best Buy now.
Mm-hmm.
And our guitarist Mike, he works at a grocery store as well as I'm trying to think of the exact word. It's a lot of like emailing and just like setting up like not press stuff, but like events for artists and companies and stuff like that.
Oh, well, that's good.
And your pizza place is cool with you, like going away for like a couple of months and then just coming back, or like they always need drivers and stuff.
They always do, so it always works out. But like they said, just as long as we have enough heads up to be like, hey, we need someone to work while you're gone, then that's fine.
I feel like that. I mean, I know you're getting paid like kind of under the table, but I've always compared it to like, because two of my best friends have had pizza jobs. And I work for a bank, I've been working there for probably going on 9 years, and I would say our paychecks were like comparable.
Really, for a bank?
Yeah, yeah. Dude. Honestly, you wouldn't really realize like how much money I don't make working for a bank.
That's honestly very very surprising.
Like, yeah, I mean, you can if you're a manager
or if you're
but like for me, I was customer service, you know, as basic as that was. And I would say, like they got paid weekly. And after taxes, if you took my biweekly paycheck and divided it into two, it was basically the same. Cool. We were basically making the same amount of money. Just you were getting cash, obviously.
Yeah. Which makes, honestly, a big difference because the no taxing thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of the merchandising, you had this T-shirt that I saw a picture of. It was a white T-shirt, and it was like a cursive F, and it was like it was a floral design.
Yeah,
that was an amazing shirt.
I love that shirt. That's one of our best selling shirts that we've printed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that F, like in our early like records and everything like that, the F was like the focal point for like our logo and everything like that.
Need to send me one of those.
Okay,
size small.
What size do you wear? Because we're running out of size.
Small. I need a small.
I'll double check for you.
I need a small. Okay. I want it. I'm not even playing with you right now. I want that shirt.
All right.
He sounds like
he's going to give it to you. Relax. Right. So who did the artwork? Anybody in the band or?
Our newer round of merch that's going to be coming out soon, our bassist Dan does all of our design work now, but he's a more recent addition to the band. So it's a little of a newer side to us, but a friend of mine from my band before Firestarter did a lot of our early design for merch and like our records and online stuff and everything like that.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Now, what? Now you said you're coming out with a new record. Is it all recorded? Are you set to record it? What's the deal with that?
Well, it's already recorded, mastered, everything like that. We just need to get CDs and everything pressed like that and figure out like an exact like release timeline. We're also shooting a new music video for the first single soon. So once we figure all of that out, we'll be announcing it and. Hopefully, I think we're hopefully shooting for a late summer fall release.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what differentiates this from the other music that you've written?
Well, as I mentioned before, it's a little more on like the more aggressive, like
heavy
emo,
side.
Like screamo's heavier side, like definitely for that. And because like especially with the two new members, because this is our first record with Mike and Dan in the band, they bring a new side to us that we haven't had before in the past. And this is actually our first full length as a band as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because most of them they're EPs, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And how many EPs have you guys written? It's like four, right?
Yeah, so we've had New Beginnings, which is our first EP that we put out in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
We did an acoustic EP with a few songs off of New Beginnings that same year, as well as a split with the band Old Again from Florida. If you've heard of them?
Mm-hmm. No, I haven't.
They actually just sadly broke up, but they put out a full length not too long after the split, which is pretty awesome. And then after the split, we put out Forget the Past in 2014, and then we put out Life Inconsistent in 2015, which was just a three song digital EP.
Man, I would say for if there's any people in local bands listening, you guys have been a band for 4 years. You have 8,500 likes on Facebook, 4 EPs, a website, and you tour.
Yeah, you got it down pat.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I've been in and out of so many local bands, and you guys have totally trumped. And like some of them, I was in for quite a while, and like we didn't even touch on half of that, like half of what you guys did. It's crazy.
What drives you guys?
We've sacrificed a lot, but we love doing it. We love touring. We love playing shows everywhere. We love writing music. It can get hard at times, obviously, because of like money and everything like that being the thing that drives everything around us. But we do our best to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what do you do when you're not touring and you're not playing music? What hobbies do you have? What do you like to do?
My job definitely fuels my hobby. Is I love watching movies, and I get to see movies for free anytime I want.
That's nice.
So there's that. I'm honestly a big gamer. I love playing video games. I've got Xbox. I play PS4.
Nice.
I desperately want to find a Nintendo Switch, but they're goddamn impossible to find.
I kind of like, it's weird. I'm like, I kind of want one, but I don't know. I can't
I'm itching to play that Zelda game, so I want to play that game.
Have you ever played Zelda before? Have you ever played Zelda before?
Oh yeah, I love the series. I wasn't a huge fan of Wind Waker, which was the GameCube one, but I love Ocarina of Time for the N64, Twilight Princess, and all of them.
I've never played them, but I mean, dude, the game is like getting rated like a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying it's one of the best games made of all time. I'm like, all right, so now I need to play it.
See, my thing is, I'm definitely gonna pick it up if they start. Because they said with the Wii U that they were gonna have a lot of like third party support, and I guess that fell through.
Honestly, that fell through so badly.
I really want something that's like a PS, because PS Vita and like the next one that came out, it's like the same thing. They come out with these games, but they're not like, you can't get the normal, you know, Uncharted game on it. You know, you have to get the
full package like a system game would be.
And honestly, like, I really think, like, because I was expecting this Switch to be like Nintendo's version of PS4 and Xbox, and it's not really. So, I mean, even if it's like not as good, I really want to see normal games come out for it. And if it does, I'm totally going to pick it up.
I mean, I want it because, like, if we're on tour, I can literally just sit in the back and play that.
Exactly. And they're saying, like, all right, so if you're comparing it to like Xbox One and PS4, even though those have been out for 3 years, it's like no comparison. But if you're comparing it to like mobile, it's like it trumps. Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And another thing too is Nintendo is totally geared towards like kids.
Oh yeah, like they've always had them. They definitely have, like, especially for their first party games like Mario, Zelda, and everything like that. There's definitely they definitely still appeal to me. I don't know.
No, I understand. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I still play Pokemon, but and honestly, if the Switch, if they came out with like a, let's say, a Dragon Age version of Pokemon, dude, I would buy this system in a heartbeat.
My God. That would be something.
I'm looking for it, man. Pokemon Go is like the closest thing.
Shout out to Pokemon Go.
Yeah. But seriously, that's like the closest thing. Like, it's still kiddish, but it's,
yeah,
you know, like, you gotta walk, you gotta go places, and you get more and level up. Like, dude, that's what we want, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and that's the thing too. Like, back in the day, like, if you go back and play like the older Pokemon games, it was like, all right, that character's cool. Like, that character looks like mean and angry and crazy. Now it's like, they legit look kitty. You know, this thing's like cute and cuddly. You know, I want a freaking badass game. You know,
yeah, right.
I don't want to play with this cute and cuddly thing,
like Haunter and Gengar and all scary. Like,
yeah, like Charizard, dude. That thing's like badass. That. Come on.
Yeah,
I'm totally nerding out here, but
hey, I love, like, literally when Pokemon came out when I was a kid, I did not put that down,
dude. Exactly, dude. Honestly,
I was like, anywhere I walked, I had that shit in my hands.
Dude, we grew up with like the most amazing like game franchise, I would say.
for sure.
So like
especially
you know,
for handhelds, like
yeah, because
nothing compares to it handheld wise. Like the name one game other than Pokemon for like a Game Boy like that anyone else would know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but another thing too is was PlayStation around when Game Boy came out with?
No,
with that? I don't know if the PlayStation. No, I don't think the PlayStation 1 had been out yet.
Mm-mm. Yeah,
I think it was about to come out when they like put out. Like I know the Game Boy was what 92 or 93 or something like that.
Yeah, but I mean, like just like you said, like
no,
there's nothing.
Game Boy was like 88 or 89.
Yeah, but Pokemon came out in like 1999 though.
Yeah,
like around like the 90s.
96 or 97.
But that's the thing. Like a PlayStation. PlayStation was 1998, I think. Like around there, because I remember seeing like that thing. You know, like when you turn it on, it says like the year. I think it was like 1998 after. But dude, like honestly, nothing like before that. Like obviously, Pokemon like led into it. But dude, that game still, you go out back and play it. You're like, their RPGs today like probably don't even compare to it. Kind of.
Yeah, with like the depth and all the and crazy numbers and stuff that go into it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like 70. You could play it for like 70 hours or something crazy.
And you would.
Yeah, dude. Oh,
so definitely. Now you know everything about me. No casinos, Sarah, video games, Dan. And we're happy campers. So I'm going to circle back a little bit to try to hopefully get some people out to see you guys. Oh, yeah. So March 26th, you're at The Chance, and that's in Poughkeepsie. Yes. You are at the Space in Connecticut. On March 17th, March 18th, you were at the Brooklyn Bazaar, and March 19th, you were at Bungalow Bar and Grill in Manchester, New Hampshire. So take a ride. Check them out.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So I think, do you have any other questions for him, Sarah? Or?
Nope.
Do you? All right. So we're going to start with plugs. You want to plug? I know you talked about your new record, but, you know, Facebook, anything you guys got going on individually.
And go.
All right. Well, you can find us online at facebook.com/firestarterny. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at firestarter_ny. And then you can find us in the obvious places on YouTube, Spotify to find all our music, Bandcamp as well, and our website's firestarterband.com, where you can find a link to our merch page, all our music, our tour dates, and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm. My name is Sarah, and I endorse this band. So very good.
My name is Matt, and I endorse you guys. So.
Thanks.
Don't forget my shirt, man. I'm serious. Don't make me find you.
All right. Well, hit me up after this. Send me a message, and I will look at our merch. Hopefully, we have smalls.
Danny,
I
want
that.
Well, I'll take a medium will work.
Okay.
Send them the info.
All right. And then also to end the episodes, we like to to start the episode, we like to play a song of the band. And to end it, we play the song, another song for the band. So which two songs of yours would you like to feature?
Well, I would say definitely Forget the Past from the same EP of the name. Mm-hmm. And then Headstones and Old Bones from Oh, I Think Consistent.
All right. So this is Matthew, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Sorry, you're another member in your band is Mike, so I'm like Matthew, Mike.
And there's two Matts, a Mike and a Dan.
Yeah, look at that.
I remembered
see?
Matt.
So now you're screwing me up.
Even if it was the wrong one, I remembered.
All right, thank
Matt. It was great talking to you.
Yeah, definitely,
thanks
Matt.
For calling. I said it was great talking to you. Thanks for calling us.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on.
No problem, dude. Have a great night and good luck.
You too. Thank you.
Take care. And darling, you're one, don't you never get what you want. And this day and age is not how we were brought up. So make the change, fight through the pain, and make it through another day. So make the change, fight through.